I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Give it to me.
Hey, everyone. I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where, don't worry, there's only a full-on singing show about once a month. It's not our fault that sometimes when the things arrive and we have no control over what the things are going to be, they include singing and banging on the table. Today is not that day. Nevertheless, we hope we have a fun show for you. Thanks for joining us.
We do have an Insta thing, a passing thing, we can't ignore it thing.
Yeah.
We see you, Bernie with the mittens.
Dude, Bernie meme. We see you. The thing. The like overwhelming thingy thing. And not in just the like, not in just the it's all that's on Rex Chapman's Twitter feed kind of way, although it was that for sure. It was like my entire work Slack. Friends sending me things, all my Jewish friends sending me the Jewish specific ones, which were hysterical. Like the Bernie meme. I mean, Bernie stole the entire inauguration. And considering everything that happened, that was hard to do.
So we first noticed it while watching live because I didn't notice it, but Eileen's like, why is Bernie sitting alone? And I'm like, what? And then we waited and they cut back and I'm like, oh, that's so sad looking. You know, yeah. He's just, but look at those mittens. Like, and as we were saying that, so was the rest of every single person watching.
Yep. My son was to the point right that, on like, top of it.
I didn't even see any Rex Chapman stuff yesterday, but we still spent a good half hour just sitting, cracking each other up, showing each other the memes that we were finding.
Totally. It was amazing. I mean, I'm sitting there, you know, all emotional. And I'm like, I'm listening to this and I'm crying over this and I'm trying to pay attention to the poet. And I think, you know, and I'm trying to pay attention to Amanda Gorman, the poet, and this. And my son sitting next to me, and he's like, Mom, let me tell you about Bernie's mittens. Guess who made them for him? I mean, it was like immediate.
Yeah.
We like experienced the rise of the Bernie meme in real time, as did, I think, a lot of people who were online at the same time. But I was like, I was not watching the inauguration with Twitter. I did not second screen it. I was just trying to actually watch it. And the whole time he's like, look at this Bernie picture. Look at this one. Now that Bernie's everywhere. Oh, my God. By the end of the night, Bart was tweeting about it. Somebody had, of course, had put him in. I mean, it's just amazing.
It's such an easy pose to put places because he's just sitting. It looks so funny because of the way his hands are crossed, and also because he's just alone.
Because he's like, hysterical. He's all alone. He looks like he's
not
like,
have a plus one.
Like, got the cheap seats? Probably not. He was like, it's cold. Don't bother.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, and somebody, one of my producers on tech was like, I hope he knows. Like, do you think he knows? And do you think he's enjoying it? And I was like, no, he doesn't care.
Oh, he knows. Doesn't care. No,
he knows. Right. He doesn't care. Yeah. And then someone was like, but I wish he would know how happy he made us. And I was like, do you even know Bernie? He does not. He would just be like, I don't know.
I'm glad you're happy.
Perfect. I was warm. It was a perfectly practical
outfit.
The
other meme that I saw related to this, which is not as popular, but cracked me up as well, was I come to you again, but it was I come to you again wearing this coat. Because I come to you again meme, he's wearing the same darn coat.
The same coat. This also was happening while I was trying to pay attention to the inauguration. My son being like, Bernie only has two coats. Look, here's a picture of this one and here's a picture of that. I'm like, dude, I am watching. Gaga.
It's a good coat. It's sensible. You don't need 100 of them. He's a practical man.
It's just a practical. I mean, everything about it is amazing. We see you. And it was such a thing that we were just like, we need to like acknowledge that thing up front, which sometimes happens, but we still have more things. Don't worry. It's not like the shanty show. Oh no.
Something I've been seeing more references to. That's one thing that trips my thing trigger. It's not, is it new? Like the Bernie meme. It's like, all right, now I'm seeing this a lot of places. Could be my own personal bias, but often it does lead to a thing. And that is the werewolf game.
Oh,
do you know the werewolf game?
Nope.
This is not a nursery rhyme. Do you know
I know. Werewolf the King? Way you said it was really pretty delightful, but no, I do not know the Werewolf King.
So this is a popular Zoom game right now, which is the context in which people are talking about it. It also bears similarities to Among Us, although it predates it.
Okay.
So I think that's another thing that's getting more people to pay attention. But essentially, someone is told secretly by a moderator. You need somebody to kind of run the game. Someone is told that they are the werewolf. And then everybody closes their eyes and the werewolf tells the moderator who they want to kill.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so they turn into a werewolf, kill the person.
I do this in every Slack, in every Zoom meeting. Is this not?
You just don't do it with the other people on the Zoom.
I just Slack them.
Everybody opens their eyes and you start a guessing game over who killed, like the person who got killed knows it, like you're dead. But then everybody, including the dead person, has to guess who killed them and who's the werewolf.
God, I did not have enough fun games in my life back in my party days. Everyone in the Discord is like, oh yeah, this is a great camping game. I played so many in-person games of this, but it is, you could see it really working in our troubled times because you can actually do this on Zoom.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious.
And Tsubasa points out it's also called Mafia. There's other derivations, you know, all along the same principle. But yeah, apparently everybody's
werewolf game.
Playing the werewolf these days.
I'm inspired. I want to have a Zoom party game night.
I was
going to
say, this is perfect for you. Yeah.
Oh, this looks super fun. And it's embedded in a list of other adult party games that you can do remotely, which is delightful.
Yeah, I guess adult party games on Zoom also kind of
probably also a thing. But the werewolf game, I could see it. Of course, it made a comeback because of Among Us. I mean, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I think that's what boosted it above the others for sure.
Yeah,
because this Glamour article says Settlers of Catan is something you can play over Zoom,
which
I guess could work if everybody's got a board.
Yeah. Okay. The other day I was shopping online. I know this is a shock to you, but I was, because I was like, In the family room downstairs, I just need like some piece of mid-century art. Like it's just a mid-century look. I don't need to. The flea market is closed.
You
I'm not going to like
space.
Go all crazy.
Yeah.
All right. I was like, I'm going to go to Etsy and just look for, you know, mid-century art pieces to buy that are reasonably inexpensive. And every freaking listing that I saw for like pages and pages and pages was a downloadable print. Like downloadable wall art. And then I started looking around the internet and I was like, oh my God, this is everywhere. Like what you buy for $6 to $15 is a downloadable print that then presumably, and I would assume that this is the kind of thing that can only become a thing because now we have things like, what is it? Framebridge, the printing, the remote printing service, like service.
That's where I was going. It's like, so you have to have a printer that can do this, right? But no, you just...
No, you can just send a file off to these services that do printing for you and so do framing for you. So you would end up with a framed print that would still cost, you know, $50 to $200 depending on the size or whatever, but you've only paid $11 to download a high resolution file of your art. And I just think it is, I don't know, I actually, to be honest, have no idea how common or widespread it is. I only know that I could not believe how many pages of downloadable prints I had to get through to get to actual art. Like, I was like, what is going on? It's everywhere. Yeah. And then it made me wonder, and thank you, SCW Lung, for pointing this out, because I was like, is this about Zoom backgrounds? Like, is this how things got
even
great. More popular?
Because I mean, my first thought was like, well, of course, people don't want to go out. So they don't want to go shop for a print and get it. They'd rather just have it come to them. Right. So that's
and
perfect.
Art but is
then
hard to
the
chip.
Coordination of I can have my background be the print that is also on the wall behind me.
Right. Totally. I want that is such a great observation, SCW Lung. I bet you that this is somehow related to Zoom backgrounds because then you do get both. You could either have it in your background and you feel really cool, or you have it as your art and your Zoom background. That actually makes tons of sense because I was like, where did this come from?
Yeah.
And why is it all of a sudden everything that I'm finding when I search for wall art? And I honestly, it makes a ton of sense too, because art is hard to ship. It's expensive to ship. Yeah. And so if you are like an artist on Etsy, I could imagine you being like, it's just way easier. Trust me, it's easier if you print this yourself. There's printable posters. and then, all over the place. Yeah.
You don't have to wait for a thing to get shipped to you if you're not going to go to a store and get it.
Right.
And then you'd have to ship it back out to get framed or take it to the frame store. Instead, you just like, oh, download, boom, now I've got it. Now I can do whatever I want. Maybe
upload
I've got
it to the frame store.
A color printer, I can make something out of it. Or maybe I just email it to the frame store.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me when it's ready. That's great.
I mean, it's kind of genius. And out of some sense of like weird old lady Puritanism, I was like, well, I don't want to do this. And instead I bought some art that is still in the process of being arted. You know, like hasn't shipped. I don't know when it's going to come. I'm like, wait, what was I thinking? Why did I not do this? Instead, I'm getting handmade art just for me, which is also great. Anyway, I think this is fascinating. It's a thing.
This is a good discovery. This is a big thing. It's a big thing. Yep. I like it.
The Zoom thing. That's what brought it home.
Well, as I often do on this show, my next thing is about fashion.
Oh, yeah. That's your jam.
Obviously.
Everyone who knows you knows it.
Uh-huh. But this is the journey to Chelsea boots being my thing.
Yep. Yeah. 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Bajillion percent.
It started with my wife receiving a pair of Chelsea boots in the mail and me going, huh. And she was telling me like, oh, I wanted to get these at Black Friday, but then they were out of stock. And then she was telling me all the story. I'm like, so Chelsea boots are a thing. And she's like, oh, yeah, Chelsea boots. They're not really a new thing, but they're definitely a thing. And, you know, they've come back into style and all that. So I go and I look. Not only are they a thing, but Men's XP at the end of December had an article called 5 Reasons Why Every Guy Needs a Pair of Chelsea Boots in His Shoe Drobe this season.
Oh, what? Are we saying that? I don't know.
Men'sXP.com is saying that. I don't know if anybody else is. I'm not willing to call that a thing yet. But they make an argument, you know, about the versatile style. Because if you don't know, Chelsea boots have an elastic bit, so you don't have any laces. You just pull them on.
It's just an ankle-high boot with this elastic. It's an ankle-high pull-on.
And then they look like dress shoes. You know, same way cowboy boots or any other boot might. But they're boots, so they're durable. They're comfortable. And then I found out that they date back to Queen Victoria's shoemaker.
Really?
Charles Goodyear developed vulcanized rubber in the 1800s, and by the 1840s, the fashion of vulcanized rubber in boots began to catch on, elasticized boots, and Queen Victoria's shoemaker J. Sparks Hall claimed that Queen Victoria walked in them daily.
Wow, because they're so comfortable.
The reason they're called Chelsea boots, though, has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the neighborhood on the West End. Is it the West End? I think that's the West End. The Chelsea neighborhood in London, where all the mods in the 60s, Beatles were one of the popularizers of these boots back in the 60s, where they all wore these boots. And so people called them Chelsea boots, or they even called them Beatle boots for a while. But Chelsea boots stuck.
Look at you. I love that you did the research. Of course you did. And also, I'm just going to go ahead and verify that. Yep. Super duper thing.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And great. And now I'm shopping for them. That whole long silence.
I'm
going to
shop for them now,
listening, too.
I want these. I don't even need to wear shoes, but I want them anyway. Totally.
That's what I thought, too. I was like, I'm definitely going to buy some of these. But where am I going to go in there? But still, they are the ankle boot is already the perfect shoe. What I like about this is the crossover to it being an essential men's style, too, though, because it is like it's just as nice, like you said, as a dress shoe. But it's easy to put on like a sneaker. Yeah. Love it. Yeah. Good find.
And they're durable too. I mean, because I'm thinking like, well, I've got sneakers that I wear on the dog walk. I should probably, you know, keep that because they get muddy or whatever. But these are, even though they're dress, they're, you know, they're durable. Maybe not. And they're waterproof. I mean, they're leather. Yeah.
They can be.
Yeah. They can be waterproof.
Yeah. They come. I mean, you can get pretty much any kind. I mean, I bought a pair of Chelsea boots in like my first job out of college, you know, and there was this wonderful, wonderful shoe store in Helena, Montana, when I was working for the Associated Press. And I bought a pair of Italian leather Chelsea boots for $200 because I was like, oh my God, I have a job. That's like ridiculous. That's a ridiculous amount of money. I think my rent was $375. And I immediately was like, I have made a terrible mistake. And I tried to go and return them. And they were like, honey, no. Like, you wore these $200 boots.
I can get a pair of suede leather Chelsea boots on Amazon for $40.
Really?
Yeah. They can't be that good.
You should know. I was going to say, well, yes, this is why I was going to tell you.
All the others are like $200.
You should spring for the good ones, because the $200 pair of Italian leather Chelsea boots that I bought back then in 1997, 1998, lasted me 15 years.
Now I got to brush up on. Well, Doc Martens is all putting out their own Chelsea boot take.
Doc Martens totally back. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a thing. Also.
Get the good kind.
There you go. Chelsea boots. You may see me walking around in them soon.
Love it. Or maybe just a picture of you with your new boots on Instagram.
Yes. Well, that's where you would see me, of course, walking around inside in my Chelsea boots.
So my next thing is, again, maybe not particularly widespread, and yet still, I will say, a really fun evening at home. So I don't know if you're familiar with Azalea Banks, the rapper.
Of course.
Yes, of course.
Yes, I am.
Right. Azalea Banks, very controversial rapper. She has that cool 212 song, but she's really controversial because she often is like posting all these homophobic slurs and racial attacks and defending Bill Cosby and being kind of MAGA. Like, it's nonstop scandal with Azalea Banks. Like, she's always in a beef with someone. And then there was like a whole Grimes Elon Musk thing where I think Azalea Banks like posted all of like Grimes's text to her during a fight with Elon Musk. It's a whole Azalea Banks is a whole mess of messy.
Okay.
And according to my child, and I have yet to find firm evidence of this, except that we tried it and it's really fun. It's a little mini thing, a sub thing about how you can put into your search engine of choice Azalea Banks and any date, and you will come up with a scandal.
Oh, because she's so good at working the hype machine that she's got a scandal for every day of the year.
Yeah. So, all right, I'm going to put in my birthday.
Yep, me too.
See what we get. Azalea Banks, May 23rd. Female rapper Azalea Banks allegedly goes bankrupt. Azalea Banks Instagram. Rapper shares disturbing dead cat video. Boils it for scandal. Azalea Banks unveils altar featuring cat skull. Like, it goes on and on and on. But that's just for that date. What'd you got?
For June 28th, I've got Azalea Banks launches GoFundMe to sue Russell Crowe.
Nice. Tell us your birthdays in the chat there. Come on. I'll do my son's birthday. Let's see.
It's really just Russell Crowe though. I'm not finding anything else. It's all Russell Crowe all the way down.
Really? Wow. I didn't get any. Okay. We all got right. January 13th.
You do 13th. I'll do June 6th.
Mm-hmm. We've got, I think that Google's going to be better for this. Sorry. Sorry, DuckDuck.
Yeah, that's probably true. Azalea Banks, June 6th, Twitter account at deactivated after insulting Monet X, fellow rapper.
Oh. Okay, so for January 13th, Azalea Banks hits out at ugly Irish women after Aer Lingus flight. She's got a whole beef with Ireland. There's a whole beef with Ireland. It's amazing. Also from the 13th, Azalea Banks attacks Australia, claiming we're all notoriously racist.
Azalea Banks, May 3rd, Cardi B deletes her Instagram after row with Azalea Banks.
See? I mean, this is fun.
You drove my Cardi off Instagram, Azalea.
Okay, so from October 30th, we have Lana Del Rey escalates feud with Azalea Banks, but we also have Azalea Banks says Cardi's grandma is using witchcraft.
Oh, December 31st, Azalea Banks calls Sia an ugly, pasty white lady.
What? She's not nice. Like, she's not nice. All right, so we got January 29th, Rihanna and Azalea Banks feud over Trump's Muslim ban. And then, just for fun, for the 30th, for the very next day, Azalea Banks posts Rihanna's phone number.
September 16th, Azalea Banks bleeds personability in Fonda show. This doesn't sound like this is just a review of a concert.
Oh. Ah,
here we go. That's the 28th. Ooh. Yeah, I'm not finding a... We may have found the exception.
September 16th was an Azalea free day. Personability, yeah.
She tweets about her girl group nostalgia. That's not a...
Yeah, I think we found the one day. The one day. In fact, she got a slightly positive review on the Daily Trojan about how she bleeds personability.
Wow.
Which is an interesting headline.
I mean, some scandals came up, but they're not on September 16th.
Yeah, totally. Lara, you have defeated the algorithm. Amazing.
You win. That's a fun game, though.
Amazing. You win. It is fun, though, right? It's a treasure. Like, we spent a long time on it.
That's good stuff.
Yep. Good fun. Right. Good, clean fun.
You know, except what else is good, clean fun? Send us an email, feedback@itsathing.me. Greg has some further, we now move into old business, in this case, very old business, shanty business. Greg says, hello, apparently when Stephen Colbert declared 2021 the year of the sea shanty, he helped call the final boss of sea shanties onto TikTok, Alan Doyle, the writer of Bully Boys, Canadian musician and member of Great Big Sea. It brought Newfoundland folk songs and sea shanties to the rest of Canada as rock songs.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely amazing. Melly sent in some navy shade at the shanty craze. Hi, it's Melly, THD from San Diego, Doctor of Thingitude. Since I'm in the Navy, I follow their official Instagram, and their social media team is fantastic. Attached is a screenshot from their page today showing that they are in the know and posted that we are sea shanty champs since 1775. Anchors away, my friends.
Also, it's one of my favorite things at the about the Navy is that they go, since 1775. I mean, we're technically older than the country, just saying.
Yeah, I know. They're like, that's right. That's right.
Then Manny sent in some sub things from Among Us to help us olds know what's going on. Manny said, Cap. I know I'm late, but I had to include it. It is a way of saying someone is lying and can be used as a verb, capping, as he's capping. That's a load of crap.
Good to know.
Mm-hmm. What's the cap? What's the lie? Corpse. Officially Corpse husband, possibly the most famous Among Us player currently. He is known for his deep voice and the fact that he has never shown his face, similar to Dream.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And then number three, modded Among Us, M-O-D-D, modded. It started with two main people playing Among Us mods, Backpack and Socks, but very recently expanded into the more mainstream Among Us players doing it as well.
Amazing. And of course, somebody modded it. Like, that makes perfect sense.
This has been Among Us Corner with your Canadian correspondent and Doctor of Things, Manny, writes Manny, justifiably.
Manny, seriously, thank goodness you're here.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know any of this, but I have heard of Dream. So yeah. At least I'm not completely behind the
And now the I have a better chance of knowing if someone's capping me.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I'm gonna hit the child with it and he's gonna be like, no.
He's gonna go, no, it's not capping me.
I'm gonna feel so cool. Tom, yeah, exactly. Period. He'll be like, I'm not capping you.
You're so old.
Jeez.
you know what else is old? Strunken White's Elements of Style. But oldie, it never goes out of time.
Never
style.
Goes out. No. Nope.
Of mm-hmm. style. Get it? Because it's
Heyo. Elements of Style, of course, being the Bible of written style. In fact, it would probably have a lot to say about capping me were it to be rewritten today.
Capping, not to be used as the... Anyway.
You don't need a direct object.
We are going to the section Words and Expressions Commonly Misused, where Rich Stroffolino has drawn inspiration for today's shout-outs.
And he says, by the way, many of the patrons listed here are not so much bad English as bad style, the commonplaces of careless writing. As illustrated under feature, the proper correction is likely to be not the replacement of one word or set of words by another, but the replacement of vague generality by definite statement. This is what you're up against, patrons.
Well, let's find out what Mary Yen means in Elements of Style. Mary Yen, with object noun, means lay claim to, maybe used with a dependent clause if this sense is clearly involved, not to be used as a substitute for declare, maintain, or charge.
Lee Price. Use this patron only of matters of a kind capable of direct verification, not of matters of judgment. That a particular event happened on a given date that lead melts at a certain temperature are Lee Price. But such conclusions as that Napoleon was the greatest of modern generals or that the climate of California is delightful, however incontestable they may be, are not properly Lee Price.
Yeah, Lee Price is a fact. Got it.
I was skeptical, but now I love this.
Kevin Sill, overworked as a patron of vague approval and with not of disapproval, strictly applicable only to actions.
Eric Duncan, not to be used as a mere substitute for, say, remark. Restrict him to the sense of express, fully or clearly.
Ah, you Eric Duncan'd that quite well. Jake Woods, a needless substitute for reliable or trustworthy. So true. And when you say reliable or trustworthy, you immediately think Jake Woods. You don't need to say it.
You don't need to say it. It would be redundant.
Yeah.
Gabrielle Cohen, not to be used of persons. For example, you would never say the Gabrielle Cohen Bidens. Equivalent to and the rest and so forth. And hence, not to be used if one of these would be insufficient. That is, if the reader would be left in doubt as to any important particulars.
So true. Joe Hode, a hackneyed patron, the expressions of which he forms part can usually be replaced by something more direct and idiomatic.
Ouch. Brad Sorry, Sparks. Jesus. Rich. Brad Sparks, another hackneyed patron. Like Joe Hode, he usually adds nothing to the sentence in which he occurs. Hode.
Also, I added insult to injury by mispronouncing his last name. It's Hode. Sorry.
Oh, heavens.
Louis St. Amour, idiomatic Hood. And familiar speech as a detached patron in the sense agreed or go ahead. In other uses, better avoided. Always written as two words. That's true. You hyphenate St. Amour.
I like that he just got more mad about this as it went along, because here we go. Mike Akins, this patron may usually be omitted with advantage.
No,
no, not Mike Akins. We would never. I do think that Rich has accurately captured what happens when you try to read the elements of style.
Definitely.
You just get more and more angry.
Yeah, that's called getting strunked.
And this is exactly, despite his strunky treatment of all of you and our repeated mispronunciation of Hode, we are so grateful that you've chosen to support our show at the shout out level. Even though sometimes you may wonder why, patreon.com/itsathing is where you can join the fun.
Email us your observations to feedback@itsathing.me.
He's still going too. It's Hode, like on a
Hode.
Coat. Hode. It's just Joe Hode. Just get it right. Just
Joe
be
Hode.
Done with it. Talk to you next time.
Bye. Give it to me. Hey. Joe Hode.
Joe Hode.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.